puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's Sunday morning, and let's say hello to Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie.
So remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, I said we were going to revisit an abandonment theme that we discussed in the very first episode of this series 6 years ago. And that site and others like it across Canada, well, they have been very much in the news lately.
What was the first episode of Abandoned Manitoba about?
Well, way back on the 28th of June, 2015, I spoke with Terry McLeod about the former Indian residential school at Bertel, Manitoba, which has actually been closed since 1972. But the important aspect of its story, of course, is the recent announcement of graves being discovered associated with a residential school in British Columbia.
Are there graves at the residential school in Bertel?
I don't think anyone knows for sure. I've visited the site several times, but I've never seen anything that resembled a cemetery. But if there were one, it's probably quite inconspicuous. You know, even if there had been markings of individual graves, they were probably made of wood, so they've long since disintegrated.
And how could somebody go about finding a cemetery?
Well, one way is to use what's called ground-penetrating radar. That's a non-destructive method, meaning you don't have to do any damage to anything. It's widely used in archaeology to find objects that are buried in the ground. Essentially, an electromagnetic pulse is directed into the ground, and variation in the way the pulse is reflected back can reveal where the soil was disturbed by digging of things like graves. That's the way, for example, that the graves at that British Columbia residential school were discovered.
If we don't know about graves at the Bertel Residential School, are there other former schools where we do know about graves?
I'm aware of at least two former residential schools in Manitoba that had cemeteries. One is at the former Elkhorn School, which operated from 1888 to 1949. The cemetery there was not located next to the school itself, but actually about a half a mile to the west. The graves were not marked, and until July of 1990, there was literally nothing at the site to tell anyone of its history. Well, that year, a reunion of former school staff and students erected a number of small white crosses around the cemetery and a plaque. The plaque says that only, quote, several students were buried there, and it doesn't give an exact number or it doesn't give their names. I take that to mean that the information is unknown. Fortunately, we have more information about the burials at the former Brandon Residential School site.
And what do we know about that school?
There were two cemeteries associated with that facility, at least two, which operated on the North Hill overlooking Brandon from 1895 to 1972. The first cemetery was located near the Assiniboine River, and it's believed to have been used between 1896 and 1912. In 1921, though, the site was taken over by the city of Brandon for a public park. It was called Curran Park. And in 1972, the local Girl Guides in Brandon placed a commemorative monument there as a Manitoba Centennial project. There was a wood fence around the monument, but it's not known if the fence actually enclosed the burial sites. In other words, we weren't certain about the locations of the graves there.
Mm-hmm. Has anyone looked for graves there?
To my knowledge, no. There hasn't been an exhaustive search, at least not yet. The park has had frequent problems with flooding over the years. And in 1998, the city of Brandon decided to close it, and they quietly sold the land. The fence, the monument for the cemetery, well, both of them have been removed. And nobody seems to know exactly where they went. I don't think there have been any studies with ground-penetrating radar to locate graves there.
And the second cemetery in Brandon that you mentioned?
This is a much better documented site. It's located uphill from the former school site. But again, it suffers from incomplete information. There is a rectangular chain-link fence that surrounds the area. It was erected in 1968, and inside that fence, there is a monument with a plaque that contains the names of 11 people who are known to be buried there.
What do we know about those 11 people? How did they die?
It's believed they died from one or more factors, things like unsanitary living conditions, malnutrition, violence and abuse, and, well, frankly, accidents that occurred while they were forced to work for the school. The plaque lists 3 females and 8 males that range in age from 7 to 28 years old. The earliest death occurred before 1929. The last was in June of 1957. In a few cases, the communities from which they came are known, including places like Cross Lake, Nelson House, and a couple of places in Ontario. Notably, though, one of the names is a male of unknown age named John Kirkness. When I saw that name, I wondered immediately if he might be related to a fellow named Alfred Kirkness.
And who is Alfred Kirkness?
Well, he was born in 1902 at Island Lake in northern Manitoba. At the age of just 3 years old, he was sent to the Brandon Residential School, where he lived into adulthood. He only left in 1927 to take a maintenance job at a hospital in Saskatchewan. He subsequently returned to Brandon 2 years later in 1929, and he spent the next 38 years doing maintenance work at the Brandon Experimental Farm, which was located immediately east of the residential school. Alfred died in 1980, but spent years trying to draw public attention to the 2 neglected cemeteries at the residential school.
And what exactly did he do to raise awareness?
Well, starting in the early 1960s and continuing until at least 1971, Mr. Kirkness wrote letters to the media, to the mayor of Brandon, to the principal of the residential school, to officials with the Department of Indian Affairs. He even wrote directly to Jean Chrétien, who at that time was the minister responsible for the department in the federal government. Mr. Kirkness called for the deceased people that were buried there to be given the basic respect of having their burial place acknowledged and maintained, and, well, possibly even to have the bodies removed to a better location. Many of his letters, fortunately, are preserved in the National Archives, and a sampling of them are presented on the Manitoba Historical Society website, thanks to archivist Anne Lindsay. In addition to providing a textual description of the situation, Mr. Kirkness provided hand-drawn maps and photographs, but ultimately I think he must have died a rather frustrated man because all his hard work came to naught.
Has there been any further efforts to do something about the cemeteries?
Yes, absolutely. So in 2015, Brandonite Catherine Nichols completed a master's degree in anthropology at the University of Manitoba that was based on her research at the 2 cemeteries. She used a combination of methods. She did archival research, looking in old records. She interviewed former students from the school. She also used field studies at the site, particularly the new cemetery, or what's sometimes called the new cemetery, using such tools as aerial photography and, of course, ground-penetrating radar.
And what did she find?
Well, her thesis provides an absolute wealth of information about the site, far more than we can hope to digest here today. So I would recommend anyone wanting more information to follow a link to her thesis that's on the Manitoba Historical Society website. Catherine's archival research indicates that as many as 51 students may be buried in the old cemetery by the river, and maybe as many as 34 more in the new cemetery above the school. She thinks the new cemetery was used for burial of Indigenous people in addition to those from the school. In other words, there may have been ex-students buried there. There may have been infants or possibly even patients from the nearby Brandon Mental Health Center. And she thinks there may also be other burial sites on the school grounds, including immediately behind the former school building, because some of the former students report being told by the staff there, don't go back there. There are graves there. And so she's still doing research on this site. She's actually now working on a doctoral degree on the site at Brandon. So I'm hopeful that we'll eventually know much more about its history. And in time, you know, I'm kind of hopeful that further action will be taken to determine the true extent of the burials there in Brandon.
What is the status of the Brandon site?
Well, today, the new cemetery belongs to the Sioux Valley Dakota Nation, that is located north of Griswold, Manitoba. And the reason is that basically some of its members attended the residential school from the 1930s through to the 1960s. The old cemetery site, the one near the river, though, it's being operated as a private recreational site.
Thanks a lot, Gordon. That was really interesting.
You're welcome, Stephanie.
What's up for next week?
Well, we're going to visit an abandoned site near the village of Rose Isle that relates to the history of Anabaptism in Manitoba.
I'm looking forward to that.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.